everyone, this is Klaatu, and I am at Southeast Linux Fest 2010. So this is the second annual Southeast Linux Fest. And I have met Brian Smith at from DNS.com, and I've decided to talk to him. Brian, so you're here with DNS.com, so let's start from the really, really basics. So let me tell you what I know about DNS. I make a request to a website. There's a box somewhere that has names and IP addresses sort of related to each other. It looks up the IP address so that it knows what website to direct me to. So is that a fair assessment?
That's pretty accurate. DNS, you can also look at as a key value store. So you have a list of zones, as they're called. That would be like example.com or www.example.com. And if you're requesting for a web page, typically you're going to be asking for an A record or an IP address. You can get all kinds of different responses back. CNAMEs, which are just canonical names, like another www.example or example1.com.
Knowing that now, so what are you guys over at DNS.com doing? Like, what kind of services do you guys offer?
We offer general authoritative DNS services. So we're not like OpenDNS or Google Public DNS, where anybody can come to us and start asking for resolutions of domains that we don't know about. But if you do have DNS services that you do need for like a large-scale website, we can manage that for you. You just come to us, point your zones at us, and we have, I think, around 15 servers right now that are geographically dispersed on an Anycast, on a dual Anycast network. So we have a 5.9's SLA, and we are basically competing with like Ultra DNS and 9DNS. And we have dynamic DNS services. We were the first to come out with a really rich API. Ours is JSON-based, so it's very easy for people to integrate with. We kind of have niched ourselves in the geographic realm of things, where we have geodirectional resolution down to a city level. So with 98% accuracy, we can state that a query coming from a server is in, say, Chicago, Illinois, and give a specific response back to that server, or to that specific requestor, and people will like that.
Is that good or evil? Like, because
it's contextual. Okay. Somebody could use it for evil. Somebody can also use it for very good. Say if you're an advertiser, which you can argue, good or bad. At the same time, if you go to hotdogs.com, do you want to know about a hot dog shack in South Beach, California, or one that's in your neighborhood?
Gotcha.
So, and that is really useful. If you're a CDN network, content delivery network, do you want to send a user to a server that's on the other side of the country or a continent away, or do you want to send them to one that's closest to you so that they have the best responses? That's really where it comes into play,
yeah.
And it can be very functional. A lot of the DNS community, there's the old school guys, they hate what we do. Because they think we're breaking DNS as a standard data, because you're supposed to, whatever you hand to the request to the resolver, they're supposed to hand to all of their clients. So that knowledge is supposed to be shared universally. But we're doing our best to try and make sure that we are upholding the course of DNS and still satisfying this niche that is out there, that people do want this service.
Okay, yeah, it does sound really cool. So who are your... What's the customer base, and is it primarily companies that have a website, people are going to it and they want to show me, here's my local results or whatever, or are there people who use it for, like, I don't know, what would it be? Well, like dynamic DNS kind of services, or?
Even though we do have dynamic DNS, you don't have a whole lot of play in the geographic realm of it. But what we do have is, or a lot of our customers are like, say, councils of cities. They want to send, if you live in France or something, if you had a France.com, you could send everybody who's in France to your local chapter, and then everybody else you could send somewhere else. For them, that might be useful, but mostly we see a lot of use from CDNs, and then also just advertisers who are looking to try and get the most relevant responses. Now, as far as what's on the website, we don't have a whole lot of play in what is ended up presented in the HTML. That's generally done with, say, a MaxMind API request that somebody might have on their end, or any other GeoIP that's available.
So now, in terms of having more secure DNS, because I know that, I mean, like, obviously Dan Kaminsky and well-known names like that, they kind of are, I guess, exposing a lot of stuff in the DNS realm. Would there be a security advantage, do you think, with using something like your service for a business?
We'd like to think so. Our system is not based off Bind or any of the other traditional softwares. We've kind of developed our stuff in-house. We've been very careful to always do as much testing, as much penetration as we can against it, to make sure that we are always safe, because the last thing we need is, you know, for a node to go down or to be hacked. But big security advantage compared to, say, OpenDNS or now Norton's Dyn's partnership and Google Public is that we're not an open resolver. And that's where really a lot of the vulnerabilities came from with cache poisoning, where we don't do any kind of resolutions. There's not really any cache for somebody to exploit. The cache that we have in our system, we know about. We don't ask any other resolvers that are out in the world what data to request for. So there's no possibility for there to be a cache poisoning attempt.
You know, I mean, I know I've heard of cache poisoning, but honestly, I have no earthly clue about what that is. Could you maybe enlighten me a little bit?
Yeah, we can go over one of the more famous ones, the Kaminsky attack. Basically, what you would do is you have an open resolver, or not even an open resolver, just a resolver, and you initiate a request for, say, Microsoft.com. You know that you're asking for an A record, and so what you would do from that point is then bombard that system with as many queries as you can with all of the query IDs to try and match the same query ID that it sent the request to Microsoft for. And you're trying to basically beat it to the Microsoft response, and you're going to add additional data to the additional record section of your response that you're sending that you're poisoning with, and that might contain data for, say, www.microsoft.com or windowsupdate.microsoft.com, and you're putting in poison data that would send users who got that response to your server. And when, say, these servers do receive the response, these resolvers, they're going to see this additional data, and they're going to reference that inside their own caches and say, this is more recent data, so I should overwrite my cache with what this data says. And by doing so, you have them poison their cache for anybody who comes by to request www.microsoft.com or Windows Update, and then you're sending that traffic to your servers for the remainder of the TTL.
Wow, that is really crazy. That's really cool. But happily, if people are using your service, DNS.com, that's not really something that happens because you don't keep your own. There's no cache to poison, is what you said, right?
That would be correct.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the info.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks.
That's the audio. Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HDR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.